Paul Dibdahl, and my conversation partners today are Zdravko Stefanovic, professor of the Old Testament, and Carl Kosart, professor of the New Testament. And we are all three colleagues in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Welcome to both of you.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
The title of our lesson is The Jobs, Living with Losses. And it focuses on the story of Job and his wife. We don't know what her name was exactly. And their experience with tragic, sudden and tragic, unspeakable loss. The book begins by presenting Job as a very righteous man, intent on doing good. And yet this tragedy strikes him. The loss of family, of possessions, of everything that would be near and dear to him. I'd like to compare this kind of introduction, a good man on whom tragedy falls, good not just man, but a good couple that experienced tragedy, and compare it with Psalm 91, a psalm that very well-known psalm, and in that psalm we hear or read lines such as this: "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent." What do we make of this? Is Psalm 91 a promise, a guarantee that those who are blameless and upright will be protected from tragedy? It certainly has been used that way, hasn't it, as a promise?
That's right. Very often, this passage and other passages from the Bible have been used by people to say that once we are in God, we are protected by Him, that nothing harmful can happen to the child of God. And yet, as we read the Bible from the beginning to the end, we see God's people suffering. So there is a tension there.
If Psalm 91 isn't a promise or a guarantee, then what is it? How do we read those sorts of passages?
Well, if we look at the preceding psalm, it gives a little different perspective on life. And it talks about human life filled with problems, with challenges. There is a limit to it, and so on. So that's the other side of life that we mm-hmm. learn as we live it through.
I think also the idea in Psalm 91 of covering and so forth doesn't always mean the absence of His blessings. In tragedy is coming. Because Scripture is very plain, as Stravko said. Many issues of tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the midst of this tragedy, Job's wife comes to him, and it's the only lines in the book where we hear her voice, where she speaks. She comes to her husband and asks him, this is Job chapter 2, verse 9, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, in reflecting on this, I read an article which described Job's wife as a temptress used by Satan against her husband. This is the way in which she was described. Is that a fair assessment of her? Are we perhaps being, too hard on someone? How is a person supposed to respond to grief like
this? It's very difficult for us in this circumstance because this is the only line that she has, so we don't know any context besides that. But I would think a woman who just lost 7 sons, 3 daughters, in addition to the other family issues, they lost everything. She was a woman overcome with grief. And in the midst of grief, people are often irrational and mm-hmm. can't control their emotions. And it's interesting, Job doesn't, get on her right away. He says, you speak as a foolish woman. He doesn't call her, as we mentioned earlier in our conversation before this, doesn't call her, you're a fool. She's in the midst of despair. And we know that anger, frustration is a part mm-hmm. of the grief process. And obviously she's going through it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a right or a wrong way to go through the grief process?
To me, it seems like, from my own experience, it's a ride that you're on. And it's very hard to direct that ride and where it goes, where it takes you.
Okay.
As we read through the book of Job, we find also a number of surprising statements that came from Job himself. Mm. And that is something nice about the Bible, that the authors of the biblical books, they let their heroes express their emotions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so on. And in regard to Job's wife, I agree with Carl that there was a lot she went through, 10 children, and plus all the property, and seeing her husband, you know, in the state in which he was. Mm-hmm. So she expressed her feelings. Mm-hmm. We find similar expression of feelings by the psalmist mm-hmm. in the book of Psalms and so on. But we do not find that she insists on something. She remains silent. And later on, you know, when they're restored, children are born again mm-hmm. and so on. So I would not pass judgment mm-hmm. on her, you know, just because of this one line. It is true, on the other hand, I would never say that, I would not use harsh words that you quoted mm-hmm. you know, a few moments ago.
A temptress used right. by Satan against yes. her husband, which is what I had read.
It yeah. is true that the enemy can use our words to discourage others, and we get discouraged by the words that people say around us. And yet it is good also to provide safety where people can express their mm-hmm. emotions. Mm-hmm. That is so necessary. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did.
Mm-hmm. A moment ago, Carl, you made mention of your own personal experience in passing. I know that as I was preparing for this lesson, knowing that you were going to be a conversation partner with us here, I certainly thought of the situation, the tragedy that your family has experienced. And I wondered if you wanted to just reflect at all, well, maybe just first of all let our listeners know what happened, and then reflect on maybe ways in which people responded to you in your loss that were not helpful.
Maybe that too.
And
yeah.
then if there were things we can maybe move on from there, things sure. that were helpful to you.
Well, I mean, it is a year ago, last July, 15, that my daughter Mindy, while I was overseas, was in a tragic accident on a Sabbath afternoon where she ended up drowning in a river, and another girl's life was taken as well. So, yeah, a very, very, very difficult thing for us, and we made reference to Psalm 91, and as I flew back and was hoping against hope that there would be some, my daughter would come out of this and live again, and she did not. That passage kind of hounded me a little bit because I began to look at my life. Was there something that I did? Was there something that, you know, I violated some rule that prompted this to happen? And made me ask some serious questions. I can identify also with, and my family can too, you know, Job's wife who, you know, says, you know, curse God and die. The grief that my family has gone through this last year been very difficult for us, and that's just our one oldest daughter. And I can't imagine losing all four of our children and what that would do. Mm. So it is, I think, grief is a very difficult thing. In the midst of that, though, I questioned where God was and what God was doing. But God, at the same time, was my only hope. Mm. For without my faith in God, then that my daughter I'll never see again. That would be the last chapter. But my faith is what's given me hope. Although I've come to identify with Job and his wife in many ways because we talk so easily and so as if it's such a simple answer that in the end, the last chapter of Job, they had 10 more kids, 7 mm-hmm. more sons and 3 more girls, and life is just normal again. But it's not no. because mm-hmm. there's no way I could replace my daughter Mindy with anyone else. Mm-hmm. She's always a loss that will always be there. In the resurrection, Job will get his other children back, mm-hmm. And he gets double of everything then. So, yes, I can identify with Job, and grief is a journey that we're still going through. God has our hope, and that is the only way we're able to go through it, although we do have these waves of emotion that come at strange times where it's very difficult for us.
Now, obviously, there's a kind of public tragedy where could the community, friends, fellow believers know what has happened, and then people try to respond. Were there ways in which people attempted to bring comfort to you that maybe didn't work so well?
Yeah, the ways.
And it's maybe dangerous to ask because those people may be listening, yeah. I suppose.
And I want to say we appreciate so much the cards and letters and so much we received of encouragement. But people have tried to deal with it, and it's their own struggle. And I'm grateful for their attempts. Some people just avoid us, too, because it's difficult. But they look for easy answers, like, well, God must have known your daughter would have fallen away years later, and so he took her now. Or, maybe her death is going to bring about, the conversion of somebody. All those answers for us fall far short because nothing for us will ever justify her death. And, I mean, we want good things to come of it. But any simple attempts to kind of quickly patch it up or compare it to, well, we lost a dog once, and so we can kind of identify. I think the best response, the words of hope we have received is those who've pointed us to Scripture, those who are willing simply just to be with us and say, we're sorry for your loss. And kind of like Job's friends who start off well when they come to see him and they don't say anything. It's when they start talking that they got in trouble.
Yeah, I've heard it said that they sat with him for 7 days in silence and then spoke too soon. maybe that's
and it's a difficult thing. I extend grace to all those people who maybe said something that in the end didn't really help us, but I knew the intention of their hearts, and that I appreciate.
And maybe that is a lesson for us that the words, sometimes we focus on the words in these settings. Well, what do I say? And maybe the words are not so important, as you said, Carl, as the heart, and hopefully somehow hearts of love might be able to communicate or somehow provide hope or strength for those who are in the midst of loss.
Well, and I think that, that is the message of Scripture. There, loss and grief is a part of everyone's life. And for me, as a pastor and so forth, we had a hope in Scripture, and I preached about the resurrection. But there's not something like, going through a loss that is unexpected. I mean, not just an elderly grandparent, and I say just, but I mean, you expect those things to happen. But when something's snatched from you unexpectedly that you thought you'd have forever, that levels you in a different way. And for us now, the resurrection has taken on a much more vivid, colorful, hopeful resonance inside of us than it ever would have before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It might be appropriate to end the discussion today with the words from Job 19. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Kinsman Redeemer, and here the Redeemer is spelled with double R, where Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another."
Powerful.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Zdravko. Thanks also to Susan Michael, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For Good Word, this is Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.
King David, was he a great hero, a great sinner, or both? Welcome to Good Word, a weekly radio program which explores the issues of faith. Our current series focuses on Old Testament couples. My name is Paul Dibdahl, and my...